Hello, everybody. I have the joy of announcing the first speaker. So today we are doing senior testimonies, and this is basically a time to just hear how the Lord has been at work in a couple seniors' lives. So we're gonna hear first from Noah Sweatman. Noah is a senior, and he is a sports management major with a sociology and business minor, and he's currently serving as the student body president, and yeah. So welcome up, Noah.
That's thrilling, being able to take off my shoes. And yes, I'm wearing socks with cats and pizza on them. So let me pray real quick. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this really just cool opportunity. Thank you for my peers in the room and just their support. Please give me the words to say and just help calm my nerves. In your name, pray. Amen. I'll be honest, I am very nervous up here. When I was asked to speak for this, it kind of reminded me of other things I got the chance to speak for, but this one I think was particularly nerve-wracking and almost made me not do it. Because when you speak to, I don't know, kind of like faculty and the board of trustees and all that, it isn't the same as talking to my peers. I can't avoid any of you. So there's like an added stress of like, y'all see me on my bad days. Y'all see me with the head down, the headphones in, and just not wanting to be there. A lot of you are my dear friends who just know a lot about me. So this for me is actually probably the most stressful talk I've given at Covenant, because it's all of you, all of the friends that I've made kind of along the way, the people in my classrooms that see me raise my hand probably a little too often. So I guess just to get out of the way, this is very nerve-wracking, but I'm very honored, and this is just such a cool opportunity. I'm going to do my best to tell two stories. My testimony's, I think in most parts, kind of boring, but a lot has happened here at Covenant for me in regards to my family. So I'm going to share a little bit about that. I'm also going to share something I struggle with, which is worrying. I just have deep anxiety about the future all the time. I have no solutions. But it's more of just sharing my struggles in hopes that maybe we can spark a conversation, or you're like, hey, I can relate to that, and to know like, hey, I'm hopefully still graduating, so there's some hope there. But to help calm my nerves, I'm gonna tell you a few things about myself, and I'm gonna imagine all of you are just a friend on the couch. So a few things about me is I like Marvel movies probably way too much. I have an Excel spreadsheet ranking all of them. I know. You want to know what the number one is. It's Captain America Winter Soldier. That's the best one. Another thing about me is I really like fun socks. The drawers you have in your room, you know the very big drawers at the bottom? That entire drawer is filled up of just fun socks, Star Wars model, cats, all that fun stuff. And another thing about me is I'm really scared of the future all the time. Choosing Covenant was an awesome experience, and the Lord was definitely in my life during that time. But I'll be honest with you, choosing a college was one of the worst parts of my high school time. It was so stressful, the whole thing. Visiting colleges, making decisions, money that I really couldn't comprehend at the time. And that was just really hard. And the anxiety hasn't really gone away in a lot of regards. Because now it's like, oh, I need a job. And I need to start searching for that, and I need to start figuring out what I'm going to do after Covenant. So a lot of those things I think I still suffer with, and have kind of been with me throughout my whole life. And I think actually a little bit of that was even connected to my story I'm about to share about my testimony. So like I said, my testimony is pretty boring in a lot of regards, I feel like. I was homeschooled all the way through. I grew up with a Christian curriculum. It was awesome and fantastic. The one thing that I think probably makes my story a little different, though, is I grew up in a religiously split house. My mom and dad didn't believe the same thing. So my mom was a Christian, my dad was not at the time. And so that made going to church something I really didn't do, because it caused a lot of awkwardness in the family. And it was just something, you know, kind of in the background. And that was kind of my experience my whole time growing up. But then I'm going to skip ahead a little ways to like high school. So high school, I finally started going to church, not because I was a good Christian, but because there was a girl I liked who went to church. So I started going to church, and as most high school relationships go, that didn't last very long. But I actually enjoyed going to church for the first time. Like, for the first time, I had consistently gone and really enjoyed it. And when the relationship ended, I actually wanted to seek out another church, and I did, and it was wonderful and great. That was during my senior year. So at the same time, I'm also looking at colleges, and Covenant College came up, and one of the reasons I want to go here is because of the Christian community. And I was like, you know, I really want a chance to immerse myself in Christian community, because throughout my, like, I had really good, like, I did Classical Conversations, which is a very much a Christian organization, and all sorts of stuff. So there was lots of Christianity around me, but to really be in Christian community, I don't think I got the full effect of that. And that went into my decision to go into Covenant. Now, I think where the worry came in is as I was going into Covenant, I really planned on just going here for baseball and hoping my 2.5 GPA would be like, that's like the top. Like, just do good enough to, like, the bare minimum, just to barely make it by. Because in honesty, I was worried of failing. So I set my expectations so low that I probably wouldn't mess up, if that makes sense. And I hate that now because I really went into this as a freshman with my hopes really down. Like, I was excited. Like, trust me, I was very, very much excited. But I had no aspirations to be up here, to say, to write good papers, to read books all the way through, just to skim them. And a lot of that was due to worry. But trust me, I'm doing better GPA-wise. Baseball was amazing and so much fun. But I've moved into student leadership instead, and that's been awesome. But all that worrying also was just for my family. I don't know how many of y'all can relate. I know there's probably a few of y'all. When you grow up and some of your family members, especially immediate family, aren't Christians, there isn't deep anxiety there of if they go, if I go, will they be in heaven with me? And that was really hard and something that I struggled with and was frustrated with God about for a long time. And even my freshman year of coming here, I remember being extremely frustrated one time because I was like, I'm not even home anymore. Like, if something were to happen, I wouldn't even be home. Like, I wouldn't even be around my family. And to not know was so hard. And it was something that bubbles under the surface, and that's not something I think only probably three or four of you in this room know that. It was just really hard on me and something that really stressed me out and was really difficult. But this is where the Lord, and this is where I'm getting to keep talking about worrying, because the Lord has a plan. And the Lord was working in my life, but also in my family's life, without me realizing it. So during my time at Covenant, I would go home way too often during my freshman and sophomore year, but I would take home with me stories and excitement and what I learned in my theology classes. I took home conversations I had with my awesome roommates and the friends in the Great Hall about justification, because that's normal to talk about at Covenant in the Great Hall, our sanctification, and the conversations I had with my professors who didn't know how much it meant to me that they would take the time to talk to me about it. Or even I remember doing CC leadership and planted leadership and Casey over in Andreas talking to me for a little while. Just these small interactions that I don't think they knew how much it meant to me to hear support, to hear words of wisdom regarding how can I share the love of Jesus with people who I love dearly, who are so close to me. What I didn't realize, though, is that God was just using the small things. When I called home, when I got to talk to my dad on the phone, which I don't do often enough, when I got to sit around the dinner table and tell them about Doctrine 1 and 2 and how fun it was. And then I remember, over the 2 years of doing this, getting a phone call from my mom. Or, you know, I call her, she calls me. It happens at least once a week. But talking to her, and often when I end conversations with my mom, I always say, well, what are the plans the next few days? That's kind of like my little, like, okay, mom, I need to kind of get going. Like, tell me what you're all doing. And she said they're going to church. That was just shocking for me. I was like, what? Like, what are you doing? And she's like, we're going to church. Your dad wanted to try out this church. It's a small Baptist church in Luthersville, Georgia, near where I live. And I was kind of like, oh, that's really interesting. And I remember kind of hanging up pretty like quickly after that, just because I really didn't know what to say to it, because that's not something that I was used to hearing when I asked about what are the plans the next few days. And so I remember going home, I think it was either Easter break, somewhere kind of around this time 2 years ago, going home to my house and talking with my mom and my dad kind of talking to me. The thing is, I'll call my mom once a week. I call my dad a lot less often, but every time I go home, I like go sit with him and we talk for a while. I remember sitting with him and he told me how much he enjoyed going to church. And what was even more amazing is how the Lord was at work through me without me even knowing it, is that he said a lot of the reason I went is because seeing you grow at Covenant. And I have a lot of you to thank for that without you even knowing it. Roommates freshman year who I didn't like going to church freshman year and even sophomore year because I wasn't used to it. Those rhythms didn't feel natural. I felt out of place. I felt jealous, honestly, to my roommates who went to church happily. But they continued to talk to me and continued to pour into me. And I don't think they realized how much it meant to me and that the Lord was using them to get to me in that way. I now really enjoy going to church every Sunday. But the Lord used them, used professors, used even people who I just talked to briefly in the Great Hall and saw their kindness, or talked to briefly in classrooms. And you know how Covenant is. You'll just talk about something random. I've already made that joke once, so I can't go back there again. But he told me, he's like, seeing you take your faith seriously inspired me to give it another shot. And that was just huge. And it was something that I was not expecting whatsoever on that visit home. And I remember talking to him and having discussions about my doctrine classes, and I wanted to keep it light, you know, you don't want to jump in with all the stuff, but just saying how happy I was. And then over that course of the summer, I got to go to church with my family consistently for the first time. And that was awesome. It really was. And then over the course of my junior year, they kept going to church. Then they became members. And, you know, baptism and all that also was there as well, which is so great. And I got to be there for that, which was just amazing. I think to stand in the room and see, especially my dad, be baptized, I was just in awe of what the Lord had done. That all my worrying and all this concern and all this anxiety that I had, that I was mad at the Lord for, I was mad that he wouldn't step in and intervene. He was working all along in the background while I was stuck worrying, staying up late at night, not praying, because for me that's a version of being mad at him, is just to ignore him, even though he never ignores me. And now I get the pleasure of hearing, going home and hearing my dad complain about how people can't park, because he's in charge of parking now at the church. So, you know, we have like the gravel lot, and of course the one guy with the big truck comes in and blocks half the lot, and then you have to go find him and, hey, can you move your car? I get to hear my mom talk about hospitality and how people don't take care of the little folder she gives them of all the stuff. And people steal her mints. I steal 5 every time I'm there. But all that to say is that the Lord saved my family, used me without my knowledge, like without me even realizing it, used this place. And that's part of the reason I love this place so deeply. I decided to be student body president because I like to be the center of attention. But I also deeply love this place very much. This I consider to be my second home. I care deeply about the fun things we're doing. I get excited every time I get a chance to talk about the fun events and what's going on at Covenant and the friends I've made here, because y'all have had such an impact on my life and my family's life without even knowing it. And even if that was a small impact, or even if that was one conversation, I am very appreciative of that, because now I don't have that anxiety anymore. I know I'll get to see my family in heaven, and I know the Lord's there for me, even though I tried to ignore him quite often. So thank you all. Thank you, professors. Thank you, faculty, staff. Thank you, students. Thank you, peers. Thank you, the people in class who, like, tolerated me raising my hand too often. Especially marketing. I see my marketing pals up here. So, all that to say, the Lord is good. The Lord is very good. And I still worry, and I still have anxiety, but his faithfulness to me and my family has really helped with that. So, that is my testimony. Thank you all very much. I also now get the privilege to welcome to the stage See, all of that, and now I'm just like, the nerves are back. It's like, okay, I did my thing, now I have to announce someone. Biblical Theology Studies major from Chattanooga, my friend and your CAB director, Matilda Green.
Thank you, Noah. Good job. This is weird. Hello, guys. thank you, Noah. Thank you for your story. Thank you for introducing me. I'm very honored to be able to speak to y'all today. And I'm not going to take my shoes off because I need some height a little bit. So let me pray real quick. Dear Jesus, use my words to honor you today. Amen. So today I want to talk a little about home. And I want my testimony to not just be a story to listen to, but something that you can relate to. Because everyone has a home, even though it may be different than mine. Everyone also has experienced homesickness, just in different ways. Some of y'all who know me might be thinking, she's from Chattanooga. What does she know about homesickness? And it's true. I don't know it like Changa, my roommate of 4 years. She is an ocean away from her home, her language, her parents, and her culture. But sometimes homesickness comes in different forms. It's a sting when you stay in the same place, but everything has changed. So to those who are international students, and to those who have to drive like 10 hours to home for Thanksgiving, and also to the kids who are from CCS and from Boyd Buchanan, Megan. Everyone in this room understands a bit about home and homesickness, because in the next like 10-ish minutes, I'll start to define home as both knowing and being known. So I'll tell 3 stories about home and what I've learned, starting with Covenant. So I'm a Covenant faculty kid. My dad teaches history here and has been for 25 years. My siblings and I grew up swimming at the Covenant pool every summer. Rest in peace. I remember picking out movies at the library for Friday movie night, playing hide and seek with my brother in Mills, and opening the bottom drawer of toys in my dad's office in Brock. I was one of those sticky bouncy house kids at homecoming with no shoes and the Covenant tattoos like on my face. Yeah. And I really couldn't end this section of Covenant in my childhood without including this story of when I was in 4th grade and my parents mysteriously took only me out to dinner and then to the Overlook to sit me down on a bench in order to tell me where babies come from. And to be completely honest, I mean, I can never go to the Overlook anymore. I mean, without thinking about that, and I do apologize if this does affect how you see the Overlook. But I had to tell a story. The point is, Covenant was my place I loved as a child. It was my home. I felt like I knew the place, and because of my dad, I felt known by the place. So as you can imagine, coming to college here my freshman year, I was pretty confused. Not only did coming in as a COVID freshman change the experience I expected, but I was struggling with how this new college covenant could live in the presence of my childhood covenant. So I was jealous of what my freshman peers seemed to have. This was a place they moved to. They got to introduce their families to it. They had kind of an easier home college separation. Were they more adult than me? But at the same time, I felt protective of what I had in my childhood. There was like a push and pull for me to experience covenant in a new way and for me to process my childhood here. So we're going to come back to covenant, but first let me tell you about another home of mine, my church. St. Omal Prez is a PCA church that was founded in 1889 with seed money from First Prez Church downtown. By the 1980s, the neighborhood had deteriorated and the church was struggling severely. And then my pastor came in 1990, and for 30 years he served the church until he retired in 2020, when everything else changed in the world. It sits on the 44th block of St. Elmo, the neighborhood that I was born and raised in. It was and still is a small church, and though I've seen many people leave and many new people arrive, there are still some in the congregation who I get to worship with still, who held me as a baby. Some of you know that I grew up being called Tilly. This was my name until I was about 7 years old, when I was convinced that no grown-up would ever be taken seriously as Tilly. So I felt it necessary to announce to everyone I knew that they must call me Matilda now, and I was very forceful about this as a first grader, but my little brother Charlie took the brunt of my bullying, so he's probably never called me Tilly since, so I'm sorry. But recently my name has become Tilly again, and we'll talk about that in a second, but in high school that name that I tried to suppress signified to me who really knew me as a child, particularly at my church. And some people, like the Capic family, just refused to listen to me and continued to call me Tilly up until now. And I'm grateful they refused, because the name signifies to me who knows me and my family. I'll talk about this name again in a bit, but I want to go back to St. Omo. When I started at Covenant, I thought that since I was already going to Familiar Place for school, I should really just branch out and try a new church. So I visited a few churches freshman year with Hogan, but it was the summer before my sophomore year that I volunteered at St. Elmo's VBS and was called back home. And I don't say called flippantly, because I prayed about it once, whether I should apply for this newly vacant female youth intern job, and three separate people came up to me and told me that I should. It was the only time in my life so far that God has been that obvious about wanting me to do something. He even provided me a car that summer, so I had to say yes to him. So for 3 years now, and with several other faithful Covenant students, I've been working with the youth group and worshiping at my childhood church. But I won't lie, it was very hard for me to follow that call at first. I felt claustrophobic in my small church home. I didn't know where I belonged. Should I sit with my parents? Should I sit with the college students that I drove with? My youth students? Would they just let me sit with them? And though it was my church, I didn't know the pastor since mine had just retired. There were many times that I didn't feel known or even know the very church that I grew up in. So I'll finish my St. Elmo story in a bit, but let me introduce you to my final story about home. So for 2 months in the summer of 2022, I went to Uganda as part of a medical internship at a ministry that our friends from Covenant served at. I traveled alone and was the only intern. It was actually really cool. I had never left the country before, but I arrived at a very awkward time. I started serving right as three long-term missionaries were leaving to return to the States. And since I was there for a short time, I hadn't gotten to know the place or felt known by the people, or felt known by the place before I was rushed into a heavily emotional time for that community. So I loved Uganda, the roads and the weather and the goats that I saw every day, the markets, the fruit, I loved the place. But I was starting to realize that I was homesick for the people who knew me, who knew what made me laugh and what I liked, who knew when I was having a bad day. I was homesick for knowing others and them knowing me. And while the missionaries were crying and recounting memories together, as they said goodbye to their friends, I wasn't able to relate, because I had just met them. So besides feeling general culture shock being in Uganda, I was learning that home had everything to do with people. So to wrap up my Covenant story, there are two things to tell y'all about what made Covenant a new home for me. First of all, I ran cross country and track here for 2 years. And it was one of my best decisions. Starting as a student during the pandemic, that was one of my only ways to spend prolonged time with people without wearing a mask. I was part of a team for the first time, and there's nothing that will bring you closer to people than having to run single file on scenic highway, especially when it's 4 miles out and 4 miles back. And the second thing that's made Covenant my home, which I know, or I hope many of you can relate to, has been my friendships. If anyone out there believes the lie that you cannot experience intimacy unless you're dating or you're married, stop believing it, because it's not true. And I will say, because my two best friends are either married or engaged, I've struggled with that lie. But my experience has disproved it over and over again. These friends I've made at Covenant remind me about Jesus every day. They share meals with me. They notice when I'm sad and what makes me laugh. And they remember things about me. They know me, and I know them. And what a joy that is, and that's what makes them home. And this doesn't happen overnight, but with many memories over several years. So freshmen, invest in your friendships. My sophomore year, Josiah Burns started calling me Tilly to make me annoyed. And I was like, okay, like, we're not that close. Try again, like, do that again. And he didn't stop. That didn't stop him or John Livingston from continuing to call me Tilly until it just became normal. And now if they call me Matilda, I'm like, are you okay? Like, so many of my friends call me Tilly, and it still means the same thing, a small sign to me that I'm known by my friends. As for St. Emil Prez, my sweet friendships with my youth students, getting to watch Jesus take care of our church during a pastor transition, and having some of my best Covenant friends regularly come with me to church this past semester, has severely outweighed the confusion and turmoil that I first experienced. God was right when he placed me there, and again, it's the people that made St. Elmo my home, not really the building. So as you can tell, senior year has made me think a lot about home, especially since there's a chance that I might move to Nashville in August for nursing school. This semester, I was talking to Nisha Evans about home and the possibility of leaving Chattanooga, and she responded something like, sassy, like, girl, your true home is not Chattanooga. And she responded, yeah, and she goes, it's heaven. And I was probably like, okay, you don't need to tell me that. Like, I know that. But she's right, and her comment has rung in the back of my head ever since. First, this doesn't mean that our earthly home is meaningless. I've obviously been talking about how much my homes mean to me, but it's still only a reflection and only a glimpse of the rich intimacy we have with God. And secondly, yes, we ache for heaven, but it's really our Creator and our Savior who we long to be with. As you've seen, I've learned through my life that home is a person, because you can't be known by a place, but by people. The love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is our true home. And I had to include a shout out to the best department on campus, Biblical and Theological Studies. Especially this year and with my capstone, I've learned a lot about union with Christ and what makes it possible to experience intimacy with the Creator of the universe. It is by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and my baptism into him that I am bound to the triune God. It is because of Christ's work on the cross that his Holy Spirit was sent and currently dwells inside of me. Jesus says in John 14 that his Spirit lives in me and will be in me. He also says that to anyone who loves him, his Father will love them, and the triune God would come to them and make their dwelling with them. God makes his home with us. And according to lots of what Paul writes about the Christian's union with Christ, there is, like, no way that I could be closer to Jesus than right now. Yes, we wait for his return, but if you are in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is inside of you and promises to never leave you. Which is why it confuses me when I still ache for him and run away from him in sin. But the fact still remains, though he's gifted me and all of us with each of your homes with glimpses of his intimacy in all of our earthly homes, as long as I'm unified to Christ I will always be at home. I will always be fully known and fully loved. So thank you. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for us real quick, and then Josie's going to sing us out. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son and his Holy Spirit to make your home in us. Thank you for loving us to the very end so that we may experience closeness with you. I pray that everyone here today may experience this intimacy that you offer. I pray this in your name. Amen.